Good morning and welcome to WETS Community Forum for Saturday, December 11th, 2010. I'm Wayne Winkler. This morning I'm talking with Cameron Brooks, who is the lead organizer of United Campus Workers, Local 3865, Communications Workers of America, and we're joined by Michael Zavada, who is a professor and chair of the Department of Biological Sciences at East Tennessee State University. Thanks very much for being with us this morning on WETS Community Forum. Cameron, we'll start with you. Tell me about the United Campus Workers. What is this organization about, and who are you looking to recruit?
We are an organization that's made up of close to 1,200 higher education faculty and staff across the state of Tennessee. We started out a decade ago at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. We were a movement that was made up primarily of low-income workers who were addressing poverty wages at the institution. And we were not, we were totally from the bottom up. It wasn't like a national union came into UT and started to organize. People organically began to organize. This body, over time, became an independent union and then affiliated with a national union, the Communications Workers of America. Began to expand out to other colleges across the state, other groups of workers, faculty, other professional staff saw that a lot of the issues that we face, budget cuts, lack of cost of living raises, just these all deal with the lack of power that we have. And by coming together in this united front, we feel that we can make change. And so that's been kind of the 10-year history of United Campus Workers. We are on campuses from ETSU to Middle Tennessee State to the University of Memphis to Southwest Community College, UT Martin. We're expanding throughout the state of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. About how many members do you have totally?
We are right around 1,200 members at this point. That number changes constantly because we are organizing, and we also have attrition. People leave the university. But we are a strong organizing union. We're constantly looking to expand out and organize.
What do you offer? What can a union offer to workers on a campus in Tennessee that they wouldn't be able to get by through professional organizations or something else like that? What would be the benefit for a person to become part of the union?
In any workplace, in the absence of there being an organization that's made up and run by people that work there, you really don't have a voice. That's what a union provides. The union is not some outside organization. It's made up and run by the people that work at the institution. And so I feel that the number one thing is, as individuals, we cannot affect change in the society unless we're incredibly wealthy. That's just the realities of it. You can find isolated cases of how individuals make great change. That's definitely true. But we find that our strength and ability to get things changed is much more effective when we come together. And that's the whole concept of trade unionism in this country. And despite the myth that is perpetuated by a lot of politicians that public workers are generally overpaid, they don't work, they're lazy, people should come to ETSU and see how hard the faculty and the staff here work, and the fact that they continue to deliver this great product without fair compensation.
Let's talk about some of the issues that that the union will be asked to address. University and state employees across the state have gone the last 4 years without a pay raise. What does that mean to a university like ETSU?
Well, I think Cameron states very, very nicely the labor issues in all of this, but there's another whole dimension to the issue of salaries and things like that. Let me just give you some statistics from our department. I don't speak for the whole university, but I do speak for the Department of Biology because these have been conversations within the department among the faculty. At all ranks within our faculty average only 65% of the average salary for people at that rank for our peer institutions. I mean, we're 35 percent below what the average is. So we're not asking for anything above and beyond. What we're asking for is to begin considering, to begin conversations to help bring us towards the average even. And it's not just faculty that come to me and often state, you know, how are they going to support their families? How do they, can they enhance their income in order to support their families and things? Because we're talking about salaries that are fairly low at this particular time. But this issue also affects the educational quality that we're delivering at ETSU. And this is the bigger issue as far as our department is concerned, because many of our faculty do work very hard and produce an awful lot for what they're not only they're being paid, but also for what would might be expected of them. And I think it's a very excellent faculty, and ETSU is actually just about at a place where they could move into a whole different area of productivity and research and teaching, you know, with the proper support. And one of the biggest issues, if we look at all the studies that have been done on higher education, and as American education slips into an average sort of mode in the entire world, and when we look at, there was a recent article in Atlantic Monthly, for instance, that used advanced math proficiency as a proxy for the quality of education, where Tennessee, only 2.9% of the students are performing at an above average level in mathematics. And we're just above Uruguay in our performance and the student performance. And as they study these particular aspects of education, one thing comes out all the time. And that is that if you want to improve and have good quality education, you must retain ambitious and good faculty to do that, and teachers. And this was found in Massachusetts, which one is one of the highest performing school systems in the country. And so one of the issues here is not just bringing faculty up to an average, but retaining good faculty, because at some point they're going to make a connection between their productivity and their marketability in other places in the country. And I think that's the issue that we face in the Department of Biology, is that I was an architect of bringing the department to this particular level of productivity, but I also may be the person that may dismantle it by helping people find better paying jobs when we need these people here to educate the people of East Tennessee.
People who are attending college here or are paying for their children to attend college here know that tuition has gone up, and that has not translated to salaries for professors or anyone else.
No, it hasn't, and that's one of the distressing things, is that as tuition has gone up, I think many people in East Tennessee think that this money is going to be reinvested in the university locally to bring the quality of education up, when in fact the cuts that are happening in Nashville, that money's coming into the university and then being returned to Nashville. And it's almost as if it's a hidden tax. And I would like to see is certain mandates that any tuition increases would be dedicated to providing increases in salary for our good faculty and faculty in general, and staff, because staff are a key element in the running of this university. And I can't tell you how much money they actually save us by the work that they do on repair of equipment and a variety of other things. And we can't forget that aspect either. But it certain can be mandated for infrastructural improvements too, before we return anything back to the state through budget cuts that have actually affected all of the TBR schools.
You're listening to WETS Community Forum. I'm Wayne Winkler, and I'm talking with Dr. Michael Zavada, who is a professor and chair at the Department of Biological Sciences at East Tennessee State University, and Cameron Brooks, lead organizer with United Campus Workers of the Communications Workers of America. How can United Campus Workers address some of the issues that Dr. Zavada brought up a moment ago?
When we go to a new place to organize with interested people, we begin to build the organization on day one. And the most important thing is the people that work here getting involved and helping us determine what the issues are. And based on that, we can identify who has the power to get these issues changed. I think that the issues of budget cuts and funding, like, there's not any simple answer about who is responsible. I think that responsibility lies in a variety of areas, the legislature and its priorities. But also, the thing that I continue to hear, and this is not my own personal opinion, this is based on what I'm hearing from talking to people here at the institution, is how much of a priority is it on the institution's part to address some of the inequalities that exist. And that's something that, you know, getting ETSU on board with improving salaries, is it the number one priority? That's something we need to determine. And as we go forth and build the organization here, that's going to be one of the things I think we'll be discussing.
Talk to me about some of the ideas that people have about unions that you have run into in your career in organizing. Could you address some of these things and some of the reasons people don't want to get involved in union activity?
When someone says to me it's illegal to join a union in Tennessee, a lot of times I'll ask them, can you point to where in Tennessee code annotated that law exists? Secondly, I'll point out that the Tennessee Constitution guarantees the right of people to organize. Not only does the First Amendment, because we are public employees, guarantee our right to organize, freedom of expression and assembly, the Tennessee Constitution does as well. And so it is a major fallacy. It is very wrong for it to be stated that it is illegal for anyone at this institution to join the union. And the thing that I would heavily encourage anyone that works here that has been told that by someone that's in a higher position, make sure you document that, because that is a grievable offense. And it is actually illegal for the institution to retaliate or fire someone for joining this organization. And we will stand behind people that take that step towards being a part of us. Too many people in this country in our history have fought for these rights for us just to take them for granted. And it's amazing in the year 2010 that we still have this atmosphere where people in power will intimidate people against exercising their rights.
I think a lot of people also have a confusion based on the fact that Tennessee, like other states, is a right-to-work state, and maybe there's a confusion about what that law is.
The right-to-work law in here in Tennessee only applies to private sector employees, and it basically says that, for instance, our national union, we represent people that work at the phone company, that work at Sprint, that work at AT&T, AT&T Wireless, and you can have a union contract there that covers everybody. Everyone gets the benefit of the union and the work, but you could have 30% of the people there not being part of the union. That's all it means, is that it's basically where you do not have to be a member of the union to work there. Mm-hmm. That's what the right to work law means.
Right. So the right to work law essentially means you don't have to join a union. It doesn't mean that it's illegal to join a union.
Right.
What sort of things have you done so far at East Tennessee State to organize this union?
We're just getting started here. We've been making initial contacts over the past months. And really the people here that work at ETSU, many of them are taking the lead. That's the model that we like to employ, that the union is not Cameron Brooks. I'm just one individual who happens to have been involved with this organization for 10 years, but here at ETSU, the union is the people that are joining the organization right now. In the months to come, we're going to have regular meetings, getting people involved. We hope to do tabling, and also encouraging people to outreach one-on-one with each other. We have a good website, UCW-CWA.org, that has surveys that people can take. They can go there to get more information about the organization. It has contact information for our leaders. We are made up and run by higher education employees in the state, from UT to Middle Tennessee State, all over the state, and we want to help build the organization here at ETSU.
One comment I heard from someone who is a professional, not a teacher, but a professional, who said, I don't need to join a union. I'm not a factory worker. What is the benefit of a union to someone who works in an environment like this? I mean, where I grew up, people who were in unions worked in factories, which was just about everyone that I knew. Their families worked in factories. They were union members. But people who are educators, people who are professionals, who work in offices, they oftentimes think that they're not union material. What would you say to them?
Do they have issues about their pay? Do they feel like they have a voice at work? If they have a grievance, who can they turn to? If those individuals have no issues at all, I know that a lot of professional employees and that work in the IT sector of this country are they're considered professionals, but they face outsourcing of their jobs to other countries. And so I think those myths are very easy to break down. Just because someone comes to the university and teaches or wears a white collar doesn't mean they don't need an organization that they are a part of that's fighting for their own interests. And Michael, I mean, I'm sure he can.
Yeah, it's been my experience as a department chair now at two universities that people that are treated fairly and feel that they're being taken care of in terms of not just their labor issues and their pay, but also appreciated for the work that they do and what they go above and beyond. You have to remember that this is an unusual work situation and that the average professor works about 55 to 60 hours a week. They tend to be solitary in what they do by submitting grants and a variety of other things. So one of the biggest things that destroys a lot of departments is low morale, and that could be due to low pay. Some people will even adjust their work to fit their pay, which is what you don't want. That's usually a very low morale situation. And productivity will go up with higher morale and people that believe that they're being treated fairly. And I think the union in this particular case, which is one of the avenues the department has explored for getting the equity that we feel that is needed here, not only to take care of the labor issues, but the quality issues, is that, first of all, they provide a voice as a lobby in Nashville. Because one of the things that have come out of a lot of their organizing is that people are basically saying the same thing at all of the universities in the TBR and UTK system, that, you know, the same issues are coming up over and over again. And this needs to be addressed in Nashville in part. We can also do things at the local level to get a dialogue going between the administration at ETSU and the professors and the people at ETSU. I think it's time to do that. I realize it's a different economic climate or a poor economic climate to begin asking for things, but this isn't going to last forever. And I think the issues of when it starts to improve is that will all the good people and will people start an exodus to find that pay that they've been looking for? And again, that is related primarily to the quality issues that the Tennessee legislators are concerned about. And I think we need to start this dialogue now.
Just to throw this question out there, doesn't the formation or the organization of a union kind of make it a confrontational kind of thing, kind of divide the university? Hasn't the university already been working toward getting a pay raise for its employees? Is this a constructive way to begin a dialogue with the university?
I believe so. Unaware if there is a dialogue going on, and I'm a department chair. I've gone before the Faculty Senate as our representatives, and they are, in fact, may invite Cameron to talk to that particular body. But I'm unaware of any conversations going on between the faculty and the administration, and it's best to start those particular conversations in being cordial and talking about ways that we can improve in everything. The union is just a mechanism to organize people and to bring people together and to get a consistency in what we're asking for and everything. And again, nobody's asking for anything beyond what they deserve or even is average for the particular area.
Cameron, what would you say to that? When you mention unions, some people expect to see picket signs at the entrances to the university. Is that the way unions operate these days?
To kind of switch it around a little bit, I think the United States is one of the few countries in the whole world that has a declining attitude towards workers' rights. It's at the point where organizations like the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights, something that was passed in 1947 that said that every person had the right to be involved in a labor organization and really talked about those universal human rights. I mean, I think labor activists in this country, a lot of times we're always on the defensive and trying to be, we're accountable for every tactic, for every decision that was made. A lot of times, I have never worked in the auto industry. I have never been a member of the United Auto Workers, but for every probably 100 conversations I have with people in the community, I would say about 20% of them, it always comes back to the United Auto Workers and how they've been responsible for destroying the auto industry. And here I am talking about the issues of low wages in higher education and poverty wages for custodians that work at our institutions and issues of outsourcing. And so the labor movement is in this country is so much more than one little tactic or a picket line or a strike that happened or someone that's been done wrong by the union at some point. We are largely responsible for many things that people really do take for granted, the rights, Social Security, Medicare, the 40-hour work week, overtime laws, the end of child labor. Everyone that's listening to this benefits from those, and people in the past, over the past 100 years, the past 200 years, even the end of slavery, many of them were labor activists, different kinds of labor activists, but it's basically the same concept, average people coming together trying to make change. And so that's kind of the way I'd like to respond to that.
Yeah. I think another advantage to respond to what Cameron had just said, you know, in a much broader way, is that unions tend to bring people together to work as a team. It's not just the faculty in our building that are important. It's the people that clean the laboratories and the classrooms that keep everything looking professional and neat. And it's also the physical plant people that come and fix our equipment, save us thousands of dollars, and keep all of our operations running. And unions tend to bring people to work together as a team. And this is an aspect that is often missing in universities. And I think unions help do that. And again, what is wanted by everyone is just to be treated fairly. That's it.
What sort of impact does just to make sure we go to the right place, this is where we were talking about the graduates from your department going to Eastman.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to kind of go into what sort of impact the pay in your department has on the community as a whole. Dr. Zavada, the impact of the situation that you describe, where you're unable to retain good faculty, that when things get a little bit better, your good faculty members are going to be going off to other places where they can get more pay. What sort of an impact does that have on our local region?
The impact it has immediately on the students is that as we lose good faculty, many of the companies in this region and the economic growth and the economic development of the region is related to the rigor in which we teach the students. In other words, what they will learn in terms of what they can provide for that company and everything. Eastman is one of the larger employers in the region, and we've just met with recruiters just last week. And one of the things they demand is that we provide a rigorous program for students to be trained well to do the things they need to do to improve their business. And this is not just true of Eastman, but of all the technical jobs that are in this region. And if you lose good people, we tend to lose that rigor. We tend to lose the depth of the subject. And we tend to lose the ambition that faculty that are usually generally good will infuse into the students and everything to do an excellent job rather than just an acceptable job.
I've been talking with Cameron Brooks, who is the lead organizer for United Campus Workers, Local 3865 of the Communications Workers of America, and Dr. Michael Zavada, professor and chair of the Department of Biological Sciences at East Tennessee State University. For people who are interested in learning more about United Campus Workers, how can they find out more about this particular chapter at East Tennessee State University, and perhaps find out more about organizing a chapter at their place of work?
The best place for people that have access to the internet is to go to our website, www.ucw-cwa.org. They can also email me at organize@ucw-cwa.org. They can also call our 1-800 number. It's 1-877-292-3865.
Again, I've been talking with Cameron Brooks of the United Campus Workers and Michael Zavada of the Department of Biological Sciences at East Tennessee State University. And for more information, that website again is ucw-cwa.org, and the toll-free number is 877-292-3865. Thank you very much for being with us this morning on WETS Community Forum.
A soul left for trouble in a dark and dusty mind has been my occupation. Now I walk the picket line. I was down in bloody Harlem when they tried to organize. The miners faced starvation. You could see it in their eyes. Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? You either for the rich man or the union standing strong. But they were not hire a miner to do workman's job. At 15 cents an hour, your pockets they will rob. Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? You're either for the rich man or the union standing strong. He'll starve a child to death.